and we are on episode 59. So, quite an accomplishment.
And what are we in the middle of in this episode 59?
Yet again in the middle of a lockdown 5.0 in here, Melbourne, Australia.
Oh, Lord.
So we're back again where we started. So we've had, this is our third lockdown this year.
Yeah.
Damn. I feel like the majority of this podcast, we have been in lockdown.
Yeah, because if you think about the long lockdown last year.
We started in, I think, October 2019.
Yeah.
Majority of this, we've been pretty much in lockdown.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's, and I guess I would blame coming in and out of lockdown. And like, yeah, we haven't been a bit regular in the last probably month or so.
Because just when we start to readjust to life and be like, okay, we can be like, let's record, you know, like, let's do the thing. We can do it after the lockdown.
After the lockdown.
And I'm like, oh, that means we have to start prepping again for things. And it's like,
I think, look, another thing is, because we've reached that fatigue, like, level of kind of going, oh, yeah, what do we watch? It's hard to find stuff that you want to watch because you've watching watched things, to be honest. So much stuff. Yeah. It's not that we don't watch stuff.
Yeah, we watch plenty of stuff.
I don't know what it is. Like, it's hard to find things that you want to talk about.
Yeah.
You know? We're not saying that we hate making this.
No.
This is one thing that is keeping us going.
Guys, we hate it. This is the last
Shut up.
We're not even ending on an even 60.
No, this is not our last episode by a long shot. We're going to still keep going, even if there's, like, one person listening.
Yeah.
So, once again, apologies for not being our weekly selves. It's just been, it's been crazy.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's other places that are a bit crazy as well. Yeah. But I feel like we just haven't been able to get to a point where there's consistency.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, so that's us. If there's anyone listening in Sydney, please stay home.
Yeah.
Please. Lockdown well.
Yes.
We're all doing
lockdown
it.
Lockdown very well.
You need to do it too.
Yeah.
But anyway, leaving aside our lockdown wars, because who knows when that's going to end, because apparently we've got a few more cases.
Let's do the weather, because we haven't done the weather
Weather in a while. So, Roshni, take it away.
It is very cold. It is blisteringly cold.
It's freezing.
Especially last night, I was like, Oh, I was so cold.
Wasn't that cold?
Yeah, because I went outside to get something from the second fridge in the garage.
Oh, goodness.
And I swear I nearly froze. And like, oh my God, this is too cold. It's cold and I don't like it. And everybody on the other side of the world is having summer right now.
Yeah.
And I'm very
well,
jealous.
In a way, I don't mind being in lockdown when it's winter because at least you're at home.
Mm.
If this was summer and we were in lockdown, this would have killed me.
I know, I'd be like, this really sucks.
Yeah, it would suck bad.
Yeah.
So I'm not totally sad about that. But yeah, it is very cold. But apart from that, it was raining a few days ago, so it's just been miserable.
Yep.
Yeah, just been miserable. But we did have a very nice sunny day maybe a week ago.
Yeah.
When we were not in lockdown. Yeah. We could go to each other's houses and we went for a lovely family barbecue. And we'll maybe post up a video of us playing some board games.
Yeah, we were playing Carol.
It was beautiful. It was a lovely day.
It was good.
I don't know when we're going to get another one of those days.
I don't know.
So anyway, what are we talking about today?
Today we are talking about episode 5 and 6 of Loki. Now that we are done with Mr. Loki Lafferson.
Yep.
And we are also going to be talking about the thing that we finally got to watch.
Oh my goodness, yes.
And that is Black Widow.
Yes.
I can't believe the timing of this. We got to watch Black Widow and then we were in lockdown.
And then we went into lockdown.
I was like, oh, thank God. Can you imagine if it happened before that? People would have rioted.
Honestly, I remember when we were booking and planning all this. Remember, this was one of the biggest fears that we
everyone
had.
Was like, oh my gosh, don't. We can't.
Let's just hope and pray that we do not go into lockdown.
Yeah.
And it basically happened a week after.
Sure. Yeah. I'm like, oh. We got to watch Black Widow.
Goodness.
Like, thank God.
So we're going to give a review for Black Widow. But let's start first with a little bit in general. Like, what are you watching? Is there anything that you're watching at the moment?
No. Oh, well, I finished Star Trek Lower Decks.
Okay.
Which was, I mean, it's so good. And then the new season's coming in a couple months.
Yeah.
And I'm just very excited because...
That's the animated
one. Yeah, I like Star Trek as animated. I think it's really interesting. And, like, you can do stuff that you can't do in
Is it more comedy?
Yeah.
Focus? Yeah.
Yeah, because it's meant to be a bit silly and, you know, and everything. And, but yeah, like, even the, their difficult situations always end up with humor. And it's all the, you know, the Lower Decks. Mm. It's people that
not,
you don't...
Not so important characters.
Yeah, the people that you don't really get to, like, they're not a, you know, commander or a, lieutenant or anything.
Yeah.
But
that's
yeah,
so cute.
They're really, yeah, it's really good. I love it so much. And of course, Jack Quaid is one of the main voices. And he's just great. You know how much I love him. Yeah, so I've finished that. I finished that like maybe last week sometime. And have I watched anything since then? No, I don't think I've. Oh, I'm rewatching The Boys.
Okay.
Jack Quaid.
Oh, yeah.
Just, you know, getting into the headspace of getting into season 3, hopefully in February.
Mm.
Hopefully. That's what I'm hearing, and hopefully that is right. If it wants to come a few weeks earlier into January, I'd
be
like, great. I think they are doing a panel at the Comic-Con at Home.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Which is exciting.
When is that? What month is that? Is it August?
I think they're doing it in August instead of end of July, just because they haven't had enough time to plan. But yeah, that'll be exciting. Yeah,
and I'm assuming that'll be sort of like last year when they put stuff on YouTube so everyone could watch it.
Yeah.
So that's good because then we can all sort
yeah.
of
so
watch
it's like
it
technically these are all panels that are pre-recorded and they just put them on the dates that they have. Well, the weekend that they have Comic-Con. I'm hoping Jensen will be on the panel.
Just
because I want to see him interacting with everybody else and see what they're all like. Because, like, we know they're all having fun behind the scenes.
But
and
to actually
but I
want to
see what their dynamics are like as they talk about their characters and everything.
That'll be good.
How Soulja Boy might be fitting into all of this. Yeah. And we already have, like, I feel like we already have a few hints. I feel like I understand why they might, where they might be going with it. But let's just see.
Okay. What have I been watching? I have been watching, I've been getting into my British shows again.
Mm-hmm.
There's a thing here in Australia called BritBox, which has all of the
Australian... So it's an Australian one, it's not British?
I think it's Australian, but it's, it might be British, I'm not sure.
Okay.
But it's basically a streaming, I think it is, I think it's worldwide.
Okay.
So it's a streaming service which has all of the British shows on it.
Mm.
So it's got things like The Old Life on Mars. It has all of your Lewis. Oh, yes.
You would be happy about that.
Very happy. It has all of my Midsummer Murders on it. It even has Shakespeare and Hathaway, which is, I've been waiting for that. It has lots and lots of, like, Jane Austen stuff on there.
Yeah.
But I've been watching Line of Duty, which is also on Netflix. So the first 5 seasons are on Netflix, and then season 6, complete, like, 1 to 6 is on BritBox.
Yeah.
So I've been watching Line of Duty.
Yeah.
And I loved it. Mm. I will say, though, that the last season was not as great as the first 5.
Okay.
But love it, love it, love it. If you have not watched Line of Duty, you are missing out. I got mum hooked yesterday. She watched the first 3 episodes, one after the other. I think it was like 1:30
when she
went to bed.
She doesn't usually do that.
So
we should talk a little bit about Walker while we're here, because we haven't done that in a long time.
Yeah, exactly.
Just because we have trouble all of us getting, the 3 of us getting together to
sit
down and
watch
it.
Walker.
How
many episodes did we watch the other day?
We watched
3 or 4?
3 or 4, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the night before.
Yeah.
Not last night, but the night before.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think one of the problems that I'm having with Walker is that because we're not watching it consistently, we're not getting the momentum.
We're not getting
like
the
it
momentum
feels like
that
we,
everybody else is getting
exactly.
because they're watching it week to week.
Yeah.
So
I think if we were to switch to week, we would get that momentum again.
Yeah.
So I think that's what we need to do.
I know, that's what I'm like, I hope we can catch up soon because it is going to be ending soon. for the season.
Yeah.
I think maybe.
But I am. I am enjoying it.
Yeah, though. I'm enjoying
it.
It's
not
it
like
too.
I'm not enjoying it. Yeah. I am enjoying it. But it's just because we're not watching it week to week. It's kind of like, oh my gosh, what happened last time?
Yeah, what happened last time we started watching it? Yeah, but it's going in interesting directions. Mm. I like what they're doing with,
we've had a major character
we've
death.
We've had a major character
death. Well, I wouldn't say major, but a character death.
Yeah.
I would say.
Yeah. I can't believe that happened, but yeah, it's great. I'm glad that, okay, it was very sad that this character died, but I'm glad that it wasn't
the one that we thought it was going to be.
Who we thought it was going to be. Okay, fine, we'll just say it. Walker's best friend dies.
Yes.
This is spoilers. Walker's best friend dies, and we thought...
It was going to be the brother.
We thought it was going to be Liam, and I was like, if it's going to be Liam, I'm done with the show. Yeah. Like, I'm seriously
I'm glad
done.
It wasn't him, though.
Because I was like, you can't kill off his wife at the start
and then
of the
his
show,
brother.
And then also his brother. Like, you just...
That's too much.
You cannot do this.
Too much.
But yeah, I'm glad that episode was good, but there were just so many like things that frustrated me about it. But yeah, we're going in an interesting direction, with the whole, you know, Rodeo Kings.
Mm. I think it's going to be, I think I'm enjoying it. I just kind of want to enjoy something simple. I feel like it's not complicated.
Yeah.
I like that it's not strictly procedural.
Yeah, I was like, because you know I can't do procedural.
Yeah, it's not strictly procedural. In fact, I don't think it is.
Yeah,
because you
there's
don't
a lot
really,
of family stuff going on, too.
You do see bits and pieces of, like, cases that they're working on, but it's very not procedural. Like, it's not every single episode, and it's, you know, in fact...
It's like the Hawaii Five-0 model. That's what they're going for, because it's CBS, right? So
but Hawaii Five-0 was way more procedural than this is, because every single episode they had a case...
Yeah.
And then they had other stuff added
other
to it.
Other stuff going on, yeah.
At least in the first season, definitely.
Yeah, true.
This, not so much. So it's sort of in
it's
that
sort of
vein.
They've mixed it up a bit. It is more of a family type drama than...
Him being a ranger kind of is one part of him.
Yeah.
So I really like that. And yeah, so far it's been good.
Yeah.
I'm really enjoying it. Yeah. Okay, should we jump into Loki?
Yes, let's get Loki.
Do you
out of the
want
way?
To do the rundown this time?
Oh, God.
Just be quick, like a quick overview
okay,
of 5 and 6.
So, 5 and 6. I'm going to run down the whole thing and then we can just discuss it, right? Like we've been doing. Okay, so episode 5 starts off where episode 4 leaves off, where Loki ends up in the void after he's been pruned.
Yep.
And he's confronted by other Lokis. So we have Kid Loki, we have Classic Loki, we have...
Boastful Loki.
Yes, Boastful Loki. And we have Gator Loki.
Who's my favorite.
Who's my favorite. And that was amazing.
It was cute.
It was so cute. So basically, the gist of episode 5 is they're trying to get out of the... Well, Loki, our Loki, wants to get out of the void to go back to the TVA to sort out the mess.
Yeah, and Mobius is apparently pruned as well.
Mobius
so
has been pruned, but he also shows up back up in this episode. Sylvie also arrives because she prunes herself after Ravonna pretends to
be on
her side and, you know... betrays her, and we get a flip on Miss Minutes' character.
Oh, I know, right?
Oh, my God. Anyway, we'll talk about that in a second.
That was more episode 6, though.
True. But, so, everybody kind of ends up in the void, Sylvie, Loki, Mobius, and it's all about how to get to the other side of the void, like, so what's happening at the end of time, because that's what Ravonna says, like, if we get to the end of time, we can find out who's controlling all of us. So that's what Sylvie sort of goes on.
Mm.
And that's where she ends up pruning herself. And so they do somehow manage... So there's this giant beast thing. What is the name?
I can't remember the name.
Eliath. That is protecting the void, protecting the end of time and, you know, destroying everything in the void. So they have to enchant that. Her and original Loki, which he doesn't think he can do.
No.
But he can, because he's Loki, as is she. So, yeah, they kind of have a big battle at the end. Classic Loki dies.
Yes.
But he dies with a glorious purpose, which was great. I loved that scene. And they enchant Eliath, and during this time, Mobius goes back to
the TVA.
With the little tempad, to confront Ravonna, and they do end up enchanting the beast, and they see what this is at the end of time.
Sort of thing.
It is a castle in the middle of what we can only imagine is the timeline. Mm. And so episode 6 picks up where they leave off, and Loki and Sylvie go into the castle trying to find out what is there and who is controlling all of this. And who should be controlling all of this is Kang the Conqueror.
Well, actually, technically, he's not Kang.
He's not technically Kang the Conqueror. He is He Who Remains.
Yeah.
His variant is Kang the Conqueror. Yes. Played by Jonathan Majors, who was amazing.
He was great.
We'll talk about all that in a second. And he basically gives the rundown of why he created the TVA, who he is, who these variants are, and that what the multiversal war actually is.
Yeah.
And while all of that is happening, Mobius also confronts Ravonna in the TVA. And
Miss
basically...
Minutes.
Yeah, Miss Minutes has a turn of character.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a discussion between Ravonna and Mobius about, you know, this is all... We've all been lied to and we've all been... This is all just a constructed thing of, you know, whoever's done this to us. And Ravonna's very much like, well, there's obviously a reason, and I'm going to go find out what it is. And she goes off into some other dimension. We don't know where she goes through the Tempad. And, you know, we have a bit of a moment between Sylvie and Loki and them deciding what they're... Because basically he gives them an ultimatum where he's like, you kill me now. Because they're very, like... They find out what happens with this whole multiverse of war, and that it's a loop and it's constantly going to be moving.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, and Sylvie's like, no, you're lying, you're lying. Mm-hmm. And Loki's like, no, he's telling the truth. We have to take the chance.
Yeah.
And there's a bit of a moment between them. They have a fight. There is a kiss in the middle of the fight, which was like, oh, I love
finally.
That so much. but she pushes him through the time door and he ends up back at the TVA.
And she kills
He Who Remains. Mm. Which means we've gone into the loop, we're coming back around. And Loki is trying, he finds Mobius in B-15, and he's like, this is what's happening. He tries to tell them everything, this is what's going on. And they're like, who are you? You're an agent. Do you know who you are? Do you know why you're here? Like, what's happening? And Loki's just like, how can Mobius not know who I am? And he turns around, and there is a giant statue of Kang the Conqueror.
Yep.
Where the timekeepers used to be. And that's where it ends. That's where season one ends.
Because we got a confirmation
that we have a season two.
Yep.
And we always knew that one of the shows was at least
gonna be
a
second season. Exactly.
And honestly, I've been feeling that it was Loki this whole time.
Same here.
Because I was like, oh, maybe it'll be WandaVision, I don't know. But, like, you know, her story's going to continue in Multiverse Madness.
I think Loki is a good decision to have a season two.
Yep.
Okay, so let's discuss.
Yes, let us talk.
There is a lot that goes on in these two episodes. I think lots more in episode six.
Six than five.
So episode five was great. It was a lot of fun, you know, seeing all the different Lokis. There's a little bit of craziness there.
This is crazy.
I love Gator Loki.
Love Gator
Loki. He's so funny. But I think just Loki, all the different Lokis in that void gives... Our Loki, a bit of a boost to be like, I don't want to be like them. I'm gonna choose my path, and Sylvie is his path, or sort of not his path as such, but he sees himself in Sylvie and what she's doing, and there's that connection, that genuine connection, which of course I hope that season two is going to explore.
Going to be such a star-crossed lovers thing.
Oh,
I'm
I know.
So excited!
I cannot wait for
him to finally have this kind of thing.
Because honestly, like in the last few years, we've had Cap and Peggy as that.
Yeah,
I think now it's time for Loki
and
Sylvie.
A little, you know, interdimensional, intervariant,
exactly
romance.
So anyway, leaving that aside, I think the romance, I think, is going to play quite an important part, considering the fact that their romance sparked
a Nexus event.
A Nexus event, so I think that's huge. Actually, I should say Wanda and Vision are the next one, I would say. Like,
apart,
you know,
from
apart
Steve
from
these, and Peggy. But we you know what, how we feel about Steve and Peggy, let's just not get into it. We don't have time for that.
Anyway. So, I think there's a lot of setting up that this season has done.
Yeah.
Now, especially considering the fact that we're going to get a season two.
Yeah. How is all of that going to affect the movies coming out?
Yeah.
That is my main question.
So, okay. We've got the introduction of Kang the Conqueror, clearly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because...
Yeah, we've got Jonathan.
Okay, so there's a really good video that we watched by Screen Crush. So if you guys are interested in this, watch this video. And it basically talks about this fact that is the MCU stuck in a time loop?
Yeah.
Where he talks about... I think his name is Ryan Airy.
Yeah.
He's great. He talks about the fact that when the... what's his name? He Who Remains is killed by Sylvie. It starts off the time loop again.
Yeah.
So he has to be born again. His variants will be created. And because he gives this... There's a lot of exposition in this episode where he explains to Loki and Sylvie that you think I am good, you know, because I'm not actually evil. He's not actually evil. He's just taking care of the fact that, you know, this timeline needs to be managed. And the only way he knows how to manage it is by having something like the TVA.
Yeah.
But he's like, well, if you think I'm evil, you have not met my variants.
Yeah.
And one of his variants is Kang the Conqueror.
Yeah.
So I think clearly that's established now.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that we see the death of He Who Remains, but Kang the Conqueror is yet to be introduced.
Yeah.
But he has already been introduced in this series through He Who Remains and the whole variant
thing. Yeah, and the fact that he's a variant, so they all look the same. Yeah, right? Yeah.
Now, the other thing is, we know for a fact that this has set up Multiverse of Madness.
Mm-hmm.
Because when Loki goes back into the TVA at the in episode 6... and Mobius doesn't recognize him and he sees the statue of Kang. I think for sure he has gone into a different timeline.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether Sylvie has sent him by mistake to this timeline, because everything is going crazy when she kills He Who Remains, you can see the timelines all split.
Split, yeah.
Having said that, she sends him through, I think, before she kills He Who Remains.
Yeah.
So...
But she uses one of his things to do it. One of his little disc things.
Yeah, his
tech. So that could already be programmed to go into that timeline. And she just had no idea.
So clearly, He Who Remains knew that he was going to die at, like, one of the versions or whatever. Because he says, I know everything that's going to happen.
Yeah.
And he's wary and he's just like, oh, I'm so done.
Mm.
He's sort of expecting that he's going to die.
Yeah.
That's why
he gives him the option, you either kill me now.
Yeah.
Or you don't kill me, but you guys are the ones who take over.
Yeah. And I think that's a really interesting thing because then if he has sent Loki to this Kang the Conqueror universe purposely.
Yeah.
That means Loki is going to be in Quantumania maybe?
Oh my god. There is this thing that he might be in Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah, exactly.
And I would love to see that.
Which makes sense.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
I know, right?
And Elizabeth Olsen.
Oh my god, yes.
I just want to see Benedict Cumberbatch and Tom Hiddleston in the same movie for more than however long we got them in Ragnarok, which was maybe 2 minutes, right? Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of setting up. So we've got basically three things they've set up. Multiverse of Madness. Mm. They've set up Quantumania.
Yeah.
And of course, season 2 of Loki. Which I think will set up more stuff.
Yeah.
Right? So I think, this is very exciting. I feel... and the other thing is, this is obviously leading into the Multiverse Wars, the Secret Wars. Secret Wars storyline.
Yeah.
So the way that we had Endgame at the end of the 10 years of the MCU...
We're probably going to have Secret Wars.
We're probably going to have Secret Wars as the big Endgame situation.
Yeah.
Right? Because we've also got Spider-Man. So basically this kind of sets up Spider-Man 2.
Yeah.
Right?
No Way Home, yeah.
So it's setting up a lot of stuff.
No, makes sense. The title makes sense because it's like...
So I think Falcon and Winter Soldier did was set up things like Armor Wars and all of that. Loki has set up movies.
Yeah.
Right?
I agree.
I think that's...
Yeah, so I think... Yeah, I think WandaVision and Loki are setting up the movies.
Yeah.
And Falcon and the Winter Soldier set up the rest of the shows that we're going to get.
Yeah.
So, Armor Wars, Secret Invasion.
Yeah.
I
think that was it, basically, for now. Yeah.
Another one?
Oh, and of course, Captain America 4.
Yeah, and of course, whatever the next Cap will be. But,
Yeah. I do have, so I've been hearing a lot of, on TikTok, of course, a lot of people like going, oh, I don't like Loki, the series, it's a bit silly, blah, blah, blah. Like, they're talking about character development, and one of the people, she's, I don't know what her username is, she's really, really good, and she was like, a lot of the things that people are saying is not actually part of Loki's character, is coming from fan fiction, and is not actually canon.
Yeah. Exactly.
So I think that is a really important...
We need to make that distinction.
Distinction.
But there's canon and fanon and...
Exactly. You know. And the fact is that what they're doing is... They're not gonna not stick with canon. It's Marvel.
Yeah.
They always do and they have to.
Yeah.
You know? So I think people need to really be like, no, hang on. This is not from Tumblr. This is from the actual comic book.
This is from the actual comic
book. You know? So I think there needs to be a distinction made. But I'm really I really enjoyed it. I will say one thing though.
There were some moments where I was like,
it's dragging.
Really could have gone for more. Like, this could have really meant something. But
I feel like the episode 6, considering it was the last episode.
Yeah.
There was too much exposition.
There was so much exposition.
That scene, like, honestly, was too long.
Before we got that mid-credit where it's like, Loki will return in season 2, I was ready to throw hands that this was a shit finale.
Yeah.
Like, I was
agree.
What is happening?
I did not want to like it.
I was like, this is crap. I don't like this. I was like, I didn't like it.
Yeah.
Like, until that last bit where...
I will say that it was their weakest episode
so
far.
I was like, this is bad. This is not good. Like, how can they think... I was like, are we watching a Marvel show? Like, what's going on?
Exactly.
I was so distracted through the whole episode because I was just thinking the whole time. I was like, this is not good. I don't like this.
Yeah.
They have spent way too long in this
castle. Can I be honest?
Talking to he who remains.
During the exposition, I fell asleep. Because, number one, I was extremely tired.
Oh, God.
But I did fall asleep, like, just kind of, like, close my eyes a little, and I woke up, I was like, oh, hang on a minute.
Yeah.
Right? That's not a good sign.
That's not a good sign, no.
That is not a good sign.
We were watching it pretty late, too.
Yeah, so. But still, it's like, you know, I wasn't riveted.
Yeah, me neither.
You know, I was kind of distracted a little bit. I was like, this is
there was just
a
too
good
much
season
as Mobius said, talky-talky.
Too much talky-talky. And I'm like, where is the action, you know? I was really disappointed. So, overall, I feel like episode 6 was not a good episode.
No.
Let's be honest.
And I think the second weakest to that is episode 3, where they're on Lamentus the whole time.
Yes.
And just nothing happens in that episode. There's no urgency in that episode.
But at least that episode was fun to watch.
Yeah.
You know?
Sometimes.
Sometimes. That's true. But yeah, this episode was the weakest.
But at least that ended with a purpose, right? It had to
exactly.
go on to episode
4. It needed that.
Yeah, this was... If this had been the series finale...
Oh, I would have been mad.
I would have been like, what is this? This is crap.
But then they said returning for season 2. I was like, okay,
I'm good with it.
I'm fine with it. It wasn't a good episode end.
Yeah.
But okay. But having said that, it did set up a lot of things. So
it set up a lot, yeah.
Okay, fine. I will take it for...
I can forgive it for that,
I can forgive it because it did set up a lot. We get to see Jonathan Majors, who is absolutely
brilliant.
He was great.
He was kooky and weird, and I just loved him.
He's so cute.
He's adorable. Like, him in Lovecraft Country,
I need to watch
swear.
It. I saw some clips of Lovecraft Country, and I was like, ooh, I need to watch this.
Like, show. Oh my gosh. I have such a crush on him.
He is cute.
Yeah.
I really thought he's great. I am looking forward to seeing him as Kang the Conqueror. Mm. I think he's going to be great.
Yeah.
I think that whole multiverse of madness thing is gonna be absolute madness.
It is gonna be
so much fun.
It's gonna be crazy.
I cannot wait.
I am just so, I'm so ready to see Loki confused out of his mind.
Right?
Because he's just like, I thought I already dealt with all this. And yeah, it's gonna be...
And I think, I'm actually quite excited about the romance aspect.
Yeah, I love that.
Because
I know people are thinking it's weird, but I think it's
weird. I don't understand.
It's the whole...
Is it because she's a Loki
she's
as well?
She's a Loki as well. I think that's why
but
people
that
are finding it weird.
But fits his character so well.
But it's not like it's him.
Exactly. It's not him.
It's actually a different person. It just happens that she's a Loki. Instead of being a Loki, she's Sylvie.
Yeah.
Like, so instead of Thor having a brother, he had a sister. Like, in another dimension.
Exactly.
Like,
it makes no sense.
They're not... No, it's not the same.
I don't know. I think it's great. I think it's nice. I don't think it's going to be one of those romances where they're going to live happily ever
after.
No,
God, no. It's going to be...
Goodness, no. It's going to be one of those things where they will all, you know, I don't know. It it's nice. Yeah. I like it.
I like it for him. It softens him.
He deserves it.
He deserves it. I mean, did you not see his face after she... Oh my God.
It was so sweet.
Oh, I love him so much.
And I think it's that there's that point of Loki has always wanted... He's craved love.
Yeah.
That is the one thing he has always... And all of the stuff that he's ever done is to gain attention. He's that problem child.
Came into my head that scene in Friends where he's like, love me, love me, define me, love me, I need
that's
love.
Loki. That is Loki to the core. Because think about it, we see Loki in Thor when he finds that scene where he finds out, by the way, that scene when he finds out he's adopted.
Oh, my goodness. God.
That is the moment I fell in love with Tom Hiddleston.
I loved him so much. From the start, I loved him absolutely. So much.
Anyway.
Like, he's great.
So, he's always wanted his father's love. Then he didn't get that.
No.
Wanted his brother's love.
Yeah.
And when his brother was reluctant, he played absolute havoc.
Mm-hmm.
Finally got it, and then he dies.
Mm.
His whole thing is about getting validation and love.
Love, yeah.
And... finally, he's found someone that who could potentially be that for him, and he can be that for her.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's nice. Yeah. I think that's good, and that is in itself a bit of character development. So I think that's great.
Yeah.
So anyway, so Loki, I think, had its... out of all three shows so far, I feel like it's the weakest.
Yeah.
To be very honest.
Yeah, I think so.
But having said that, it is getting a second season.
Yeah.
So I don't think we can judge it by itself.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think maybe that's why they've not put in that much intensity in this. Because they knew they were going to have a second season.
Yeah. They already knew at the start. And it's possible that the second season will be like, whoa. Yeah. You know, because it may end up being the last.
The last, yeah.
It'll be the second and the last.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Because Wanda, they knew is going to be one season.
So they went hard. Yeah, go all. And they did go all. And it is excellent.
And they did the same thing with Falcon and Winter Soldier.
The same thing with Falcon and Winter Soldier. So good.
Yeah.
They can pull back a bit, you know, this one.
So out of all three, it's been my least favorite. Not saying it's not good. It is good, but it's the weakest and it's my least favorite.
Yeah.
I'm being very brutally honest.
Yeah.
But having said that, I love the individual characters and the things that have come out of it.
Things that come out of it, I love. Yeah, and their dynamics are great.
Mm.
It was a fun show to watch when it was fun.
It drags in a lot of parts. Mm.
But I think the characters that have come out of it are really, really important. I love
them. Oh, absolutely. Like, I cannot wait to see Mobius.
Oh, he's my favorite.
He is my favorite out of all of this.
I love him so much. Yeah. I don't know if I'm projecting my love for all of us enough to him, but, like, he's a great character.
Yeah.
So.
I love Mobius. I'm glad Tom Hiddleston didn't die, because remember we predicted that because we didn't know we were going to have a second season.
Yeah, we didn't know.
So we were very much like,
this is it for Tom. Tom's gone.
He's dead.
Yeah, yeah.
And Sylvie was going to be the new Loki.
But the thing is, like, I kind of got the hint when he said that I was on the set of Loki for my 40th birthday, and we're like, that was just now.
They're
already filming season two.
Yeah.
So, but I was like, wait, hold on.
I didn't think of it that way.
I was like, okay, they're already filming Multiverse of Madness. Like, what's going on? Because, I mean, they are, but, like, you know.
Yeah.
But for a second, I was like, hold on, wait, what? Mm. But then it didn't register to me at all. And then we saw that, and I was like, now it makes sense.
And obviously, love Mobius. I don't know, I'm not totally sold on Ravonna yet. I might like her in season two.
I think she's an interesting character.
And I think what is interesting is where we're going to find out where she ends up, because when she leaves Mobius, is she going to set up Kang now? Is she going to make sure that he who remains is he who remains in the time loop?
Yeah.
Right now? So it's going to be interesting where she ends up.
When she ups up. Yeah.
I think Sylvie's going to be an interesting character.
Yeah.
I have a feeling she's not going to transition into the MCU, though.
No, she's not.
I feel like she's going to be more in the series.
Yeah, and I don't think she's going to come into the movies.
Yeah, I don't think she's going to be in the movies.
Sure.
I feel Mobius could possibly be in the movies.
I hope so.
But I doubt it.
Yeah.
Because I feel like they're very much TVA central, unless they kind of, like, you know, move up and down.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see what happens. So, yeah. Oh, Marvel's got this whole lot of stuff planned.
So, yes, that was Loki in a nutshell.
Yep.
Yeah, good. Not great all the time.
Yeah.
But good.
But had some good moments.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, on to the next Marvel project, which high time we got
which
this.
We have been waiting for since
Iron Man 2.
Since Iron Man 2, but I'm also talking about in terms of pandemic,
yes,
time wise. We have been waiting for since
that's 9 months,
May 2020.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Like a full year now.
Yeah. Yeah, more than a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we finally got to see Black Widow.
Yeah.
Are we going to do Good, the Bad, and the Ugly?
I mean, we can, but I feel like we're a bit more structured that way.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right, let's do that. So I think let's start with the good.
Yeah.
Let's start with the good.
We should start with the good.
Okay, so let's quickly have a look at cast. So obviously we know the cast, but I want to have my notes in front of me.
Your notes. Ding, 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 shush. Ding, ding. I'm playing the Jeopardy music.
Ding, okay, ding, so we have the Black Widow cast. We have, of course, Scarlett Johansson as Black Widow.
Mm-hmm.
We have Florence Pugh as Yelena.
My favorite.
We have Rachel Weisz as, what was her name in it?
Melina.
Melina. David Harbour as Alexi.
Alexi.
We have,
Smirnoff.
Smirnoff. We have William Hurt. He returns as Thunderbolt Ross.
Yep.
We have, where do we go? I'm trying to look for, what's that actor's name? Oh, Ray Winston as Dracov.
Mm-hmm.
We have Olga, Kurylenko, I think, as Dracov's daughter, Antonia. And, are we doing spoilers?
Yeah.
Yeah. And also as the Taskmaster.
Yeah. So this is your spoiler warning now.
Spoiler warning. there you go. And, yeah. So we've got a lot of people in here. Of course, super excited to see Scarlett Johansson and Florence Pugh together.
Oh my gosh.
Brilliant.
They were amazing.
Okay.
So good.
Let's start with the good.
Oh. Majority of it.
Actually
all of it. Yeah. Except for maybe a few little things.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was just, now that I've had a few days after to process it,
yeah.
I love it.
I love it,
because
yeah.
when I came out of it, I was like,
do I love it, do I not?
I was like, I know I like it.
Yeah.
I like it a lot, but do I love it?
Mm.
And I started, like, going through my head of, like, different bits in it, and, you know, whether it was hit the marks and, you know, all that stuff. And I was like, yeah, I think pretty much all of it did, because it checked, as my friend said, she's like, it checked a lot of boxes, and I was like, okay, what are those boxes? And I thought in my head, and I was like, okay, yeah, dude, it checked most of the boxes.
Can you tell us what
and
those boxes
so
were?
We got a clearer picture on all the whole Budapest thing,
yeah,
because we always were like, oh, I remember that time
and
in
it
Budapest.
Was always made a bit of a joke,
yeah, it was always a joke, like, you know, remember that time in Budapest,
yeah.
and, like, you know, oh, we've come a long way from Budapest. Ha ha ha, so funny.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, so what happened? Like, honestly, whatever happened. And
turns out it wasn't that funny.
And it wasn't that funny.
Yeah.
And we had, and of course, you know, we heard, first hear the words Draco's daughter in Avengers, right?
Yeah.
And we're always like, oh, okay, from...
Because Loki says that to her.
Yeah, he's like,
it?
Draco's
yeah.
daughter, the hospital fire.
Yeah.
You gotta, you know, write in your ledger.
Mm-hmm.
So we always like, okay, so what is
what
the connection?
Happened, yeah.
What happened? And then come to find out, Dracov's daughter happened in
Budapest, yeah.
right? There's that connection. So we finally get, and then that was Natasha's initiation into S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm.
Clint helped her out. So, like,
yeah.
you know, and we find out that her and Clint spent 10 days in that apartment just locked up because they thought that, you know, Dracov's people were after them. First of the 3 days they spent in that tunnel thing up in the train station and, like, all that kind of stuff. Like, there was just a whole lot of history that they were telling us about
her,
about her character. And, of course, like, the first, do we want to say 20 minutes was the flashback of her and who we find out is Yelena being taken away from their fake life, essentially, to go back to the Red Room.
Yeah.
So there was just so much that I've always been like, okay, so what happened?
What happened?
You know, we kind of get a clearer picture on her mother as well. That she got taken as a baby.
I love the fact that she was not abandoned.
She was not abandoned by her.
Like, she had always thought that she'd been abandoned.
So, you know, there was all that kind of stuff. Mm. And then even, like, at the end, with her gravesite, you know, like, finally there was some acknowledgement that she is remembered.
Yeah, like, obviously her body's not in there.
Her body's not there, but, like, there is something to remember her and to go to a place and be like, okay, this is where Natasha is, like, her essence is here, right? Mm. Like, this is where I can go to remember her.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's Yelena visiting the stone.
Yeah.
It was really special. And that it was in Ohio.
Yeah.
Where Elena had built her dream life.
Yeah.
Like, that was, so that there's always that connection that between the sisters. Mm. So yeah.
I think one of my favorite things about the movie was just the aspect of the storyline.
Mm.
Obviously, it had a really strong start with, you know, we see the family structure and then we discover that family structure is actually fake.
Yeah.
But what I really thought was really great to see was the fact that Natasha was aware that it was fake, but Yelena wasn't.
Yeah.
And you see how that shapes them.
Yeah.
Later on.
Yeah.
But what I loved about it was that whole concept of these widows, their overall concept of how they're smuggled, how it's basically human trafficking.
Yeah.
But instead of using them for prostitution and slavery, I mean, it is a kind of slavery.
Yeah.
But instead of using them for the sex trade, they're being used for espionage.
Yeah.
And by this man who wants total control over, you know, assets around the world.
Yeah.
And uses these women. And I really thought, like, I was thinking, like, in terms of wider, you know, messaging of feminism and all of that stuff. It's like, I think it was a very empowering story, which I've been hearing a lot of criticism, and most of the criticism is coming from
men.
Male fans of Natasha, of Black Widow. And I feel like they didn't understand a lot of aspects of it. Like, there was one bit that I was listening to, there was a reviewer, and usually I like his reviews.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, let's see what he says. And he's like, oh yeah, the movie was fine and whatever, but he's like, oh, they didn't use humor properly. And he talks about the scene where Yelena's describing the hysterectomy.
Yeah.
And how they kind of laughed it off. But I think if you actually watch that scene, yes, there is a bit of, like, people were laughing because it is sort of funny.
Yeah.
But look at what she's describing. She's describing a hysterectomy, and the way she's describing, she's pretty graphic.
Yeah.
And she's doing it in a funny way to make the man feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And to make him feel like crap.
Yeah.
And I think they achieve that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
And to make them understand what they've gone through to become these elite women.
Yeah.
They've literally given up a part of their body to become what they are.
Invasively.
Yeah, invasively.
You know? Yeah. So, I think they
Well, I wouldn't say they've given up. It's been taken away.
It's been taken away. Sorry, they didn't give it up.
Yeah, they didn't give it up.
It's been taken away from them.
Yeah.
And they had no choice in the matter.
Yeah.
I feel like, and I think there was another reviewer who kind of talked about the scene in which, towards the end, when they were like, oh, that's so dumb that Draco would use, like, pheromones to protect himself. But that is so interesting to me, that he is actually afraid of what these women can do, that he needs to use chemical enhancements to protect himself from them.
Yeah. Because he doesn't have any other way.
He can't otherwise. Yeah. He knows they'll kill them.
Yeah, he knows they will kill him. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's showing you how weak he is. And I think they've done it in a really good way.
Mm.
And that scene in which he's hitting Natasha,
it's
really confronting. Because it's like, you're not used to seeing her in that position.
But you understand also that she's also playing him.
Yeah.
Which is like, you know, you have to break the nerve
to
unlock the
so
hold.
That she doesn't smell him.
She can't, you know. Seven and Nerve, as she says.
Yeah.
And she just hits herself on the face. I was like, oh my God, I love this woman that so much. That
scene was crazy.
It's like, oh.
But yeah, it's so good. I think it just is it was so good. Good.
It and, was so good. And I loved the emphasis on sisterhood between the widows.
Yes.
Because there's this whole, the whole storyline is basically that Dracov is controlling them with this...
Well, it's I think it's a chemical they talk about it in the movie. So basically they chemically brainwash them. It's not psychological.
Not
it's
psychological chemical. Like how Natasha has been in the past.
Yeah.
It's now chemicals
basically change the way you
change the way you program. Yeah. And then
so there's this serum. There's this
dust thing that makes it go away.
Yeah.
Dust.
It kind of like awakens thing, you like, and you're like, you from
that thing. So that's how it starts off because it happens to Elena.
Yeah.
And she wakes up. And then the other wither dies because, you know, she's been brainwashed as well. So that really starts them on that chain. So when they come out of the cloud at the end of that, because they're, like, they're literally beating Natasha down in that last scene in the red room. Because
he gives the order for that.
Yeah. He gives the order. And I was like, oh my God, this is, I was crying. I was like, no, this can't be. And then, you know, that haze comes off them because she throws the bomb with the thing that, you know,
gets awakens them out of the thing,
And then it's like, oh my gosh, we've been hurting this person who's the same as us.
Yeah.
And then they all come together at the end because they sort of go off, but then Elena's like, oh, you came back for us.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, because we don't, you know, leave people
And behind. I also liked the bit where, because obviously we learned Taskmaster is Dracov's daughter.
Yeah.
And she's obviously been affected by the bomb supposedly fire, killed Dracov. And so she's under the same thing. So Dracov has not even spared his own child.
Yeah.
From this. Yeah. And so he's really... so when she comes out of it, immediately all the widows surround her in, like, that sisterhood. They stop fighting.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that is so... That's such a beautiful moment. Yeah. Like, I felt very emotional watching that. I would like to say one thing. I remember when I watched Captain Marvel, right? I love Captain Marvel. I think it was a good movie. But I feel like that female empowerment that came in Black Widow was very forced in Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
And now that I've watched both, I can confident. I had always sort of thought that, but I was like, oh, maybe it's just, you know, I'm not reading it right. But now that I've watched both.
Yeah.
I am very confident that Captain Marvel made that whole female power. It was there, but it was way more forced, whereas in this, it was way more natural.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know.
Yeah. Because I think, it's very clear and evident in this movie that female empowerment doesn't come from saying, like, you know, you have to be strong to be like, you know. No, you just have to be a united front with the people that are closest to you. And that is what makes you strong.
Yeah.
It's not the fact that, I mean, yeah, okay, you've got all this elite fighting technique and, like, you know, you're really super powerful and you can easily drop someone with, like, a flick, right?
Yeah.
But your power comes from the people around you.
Yeah.
And the people that you know. And, you know, Yelena and the rest of the widows. And the fact that they're so united at the end is what makes them strong.
So we have to mention the director is an Australian director.
Kate Shortland.
Yeah. And I feel, I know this might be biased.
Yeah.
But I feel the reason why, and obviously it's a big blockbuster, right? And I would say possibly, I don't know, I just feel like... So, I don't know if you've watched any Kate Shortland movies, but one of her most famous ones is Somersault, right?
Yeah.
Which is the most depressing movie I've ever watched. But it's brilliant. Yeah. Like, the way she's shot it, it's a beautiful movie.
Yeah.
And I think she's done Lore as well, which is another really good movie.
I think so, yeah.
And I really like the way she sort of directs. And I think it is, especially in this first sort of part of the movie, she's shown a lot of it. The scene between Natasha and Yelena where they're sitting outside that little restaurant.
Yeah, that's a really good scene.
You could almost... I think parts of it were shot in South Australia.
Maybe. Yeah. Were they here?
I don't know. Well, it said at the bottom, South Australia or something. So I'm like, if it was shot in South Australia, because it had a very Australiana sort of feel to it. I don't
remember them ever, like, saying, like, oh, Scarlett Johansson.
So maybe not. Florence Pugh here in South Australia. I just feel like the way she's directed those scenes, that very sort of indie feel to it, I would say. That's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of what she went with, and I think that's what worked for this.
Yeah.
It wasn't always flashy, and it wasn't always, like, ooh, and slick.
She directed the action so well, I gotta say. Like, the so action sequences. Oh my gosh.
So good.
I think my favorite is the bit in the apartment.
Yes.
With her and Yelena when they confront each other. Oh my gosh, that fight is so good. And then it ends with her, like, with the curtain.
It reminded me of Bourne Identity.
Yes.
Bourne,
I was just gonna say
which
that.
Which one was it? The one where they were in Morocco?
Bourne Ultimatum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it reminded me of that.
Yeah, that's what it reminded me of. I was like, oh my gosh, this is so good!
Yeah.
And then even, like, the car chase on the motorbike and everything was very Bourne, which was great. She directed the hell out of the action sequences. Yeah. They were so good.
I feel like I got, like, if you were to look at vibes from this movie, they're a combination. So I feel like I got a bit of a Winter Soldier-y vibe to it. Because of that very spy movie sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Very Bourne Identity vibe, you know, we're in a European location having car chases.
Yeah.
And it's gritty.
Yeah.
There was grittiness to it. So I really thought that was nice. It wasn't just a Marvel superhero movie.
Mm.
It actually had, and that kind of happens more towards the end.
Yeah.
But in this first part of it, at least, it was very much like a bit of a spy movie.
Yeah.
What's another bit of good that you thought?
Well, the cast. I mean, hello. Of course, ScarJo, but then Florence Pugh, Rachel Weisz, and David Harbour. Yes. I mean,
The four of them together
were excellent. The chemistry, I cannot fault it at all. They were, great. All four of them were amazing.
So good.
They had their heartfelt moments, and they had their hilarious ones, too, and, I stand out for me is by far Florence Pugh.
Oh, yes.
I loved her. I knew I was going to love her. I cannot
wait to see her.
But I loved in future her projects. So much. I just, she holds my heart.
She was brilliant.
Yelena is that combination of soft and hard as well. You know, like, she can, you know, the bit where she's like, it was all real to me.
Mm.
Like, you are my mother. Like, you were, like, you know, you just were. And then, you know, she can be, like, this amazing warrior.
Yeah.
She's excellent.
I think she was brilliant. I loved David Harbour. Oh, I thought he was so good.
Great.
I'm sorry. I loved Rachel Weisz.
Rachel Weisz.
I cannot believe she's in a Marvel movie.
She's in a Marvel movie. Let's put a pin in that. She is in a Marvel movie. She was that kind of person where you understood why she did what she did. You
well, know, she like, said, she goes, I went to the Red Room four times
to get to where I am now, to be out of that and be on the side of creating what I'm doing. You know, like, it took a long time.
Which is not necessarily the best thing either. Which
is not the best thing either. She is technically the one who put them in this this mess.
But you can see where she's coming from because she's been through that. She's been through that. Not once, but four times.
And it's kind of that old man for himself. Like, you have to be able to do what you need to do to survive. Yeah. Which is what she taught her girls. Mm. Like, you know, you do what you do to survive. Yeah.
I think David Harbour was a very interesting character.
Yeah.
What was he called?
Red Guardian.
He was sort of like the Russian Captain America.
Yeah.
That gets thrown
but
in
But you
jail.
Know what came to me as, and, you know, I even saw it on, online somewhere, but I thought of it first and then I saw it online. And I think we even said it to each other in the middle of the movie where he's talking about fighting Captain America.
Yes.
And we were like, wait, hold on, that doesn't make sense.
Done that? Yeah.
And then we're like, hold on, Isaiah Bradley.
Exactly. That's
right. And we were like, Isaiah Bradley?
Did he fight Isaiah Bradley?
Yes. I'm like, yes, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't specify when. We sort of get an idea of when because obviously if they got taken at a point in the 80s, and then they went on, so we kind of
understand. And he is a super soldier, so we don't know how long he's been alive.
We don't know how long he's been the way he is, so he could have, you know, he's like, because when we see them at the start of the movie, he's like, you know, take me back to the Red Guardian days and everything. So we don't know how long he's been alive at this point. It's probably Isaiah, and I was like,
oh, yeah, that would be kind of cool. I really love the cast. One of my favorite bits about Melina, Rachel Weisz, is she's so deadpan.
Yeah.
She is so cool and calm. Like, there's a bit where she kind of messes it up and she's like, oh, change of plans. And the way she says it is so funny.
Yeah.
And, like, they consistently kept humor going even in, like, really tense moments. But I really think, like, the four of them, because, you know, we start off with seeing them as, like, mom, dad, and the kids, and then they're not.
Yeah.
But they are.
Yeah.
In their own strange, dysfunctional way, they are.
They are a family.
That family. My favorite bit about this, I think, was I'd say favorite. But I liked the connection that they made, because this is, timeline-wise, this is between Civil War and Infinity War.
Yeah.
So this is the missing years.
Well, start of the missing years.
Start of the missing years.
Yeah.
And at the end of the movie, we see Natasha with her bob and her blonde hair.
The blonde bob.
Yeah. Which is what we see in Infinity War.
Yeah.
The other connection is Yelena buys a jacket for herself, and she kind of modifies it with all these pockets and whatnot. She's very proud of herself. Yeah.
She's like, there's so many pockets.
She loves it. She's a little bit of a fashionista.
Like, it's a great jacket. Like, you have so many pockets. It's so functional. Like,
she's so like a fashionista, but needs function as well.
It's so good.
And she gives it to Natasha, and that's what she's wearing in both Infinity War and Endgame.
Yeah.
So I think that's a really nice... Oh, not in Endgame, sorry, but she's wearing it in Infinity War,
yeah. Yeah.
So that's a nice connection there. Yeah. And of course, at the end, we see the guy who does all her, you know, resources for her.
Brings her a Quinjet.
And and so that kind of then connects you to, okay, what I would have liked, and maybe this is where we segue into the bad, which is not that much, There's a few nitpicky moments. I would have really liked some kind of reference as to where she's going with that Quinjet.
Mm-hmm.
In my heart of hearts, what would have made me really happy is if the Quinjet door had opened and Steve and Sam were there.
No, see, that would have taken away from the movie.
Exactly. And that's why I'm okay with that
I would
not
have
happening.
Been happy with a phone in.
Yes.
And it'd been like, I'm coming to get you.
Yep.
And that's it.
And then, okay, so this
makes
sense. Because
he's like, Natasha, where are you? Like, what's happening? Yeah. And then, I'm coming to get you.
And I'm glad that they didn't go with that direction, because even though I love to see Chris Evans, this was ScarJo's movie, and she did not need the boys to make it anything.
Yeah.
So, that was just my own little heart going, I want to see Steve Rogers again. I would have liked that phone-in. I think that would have been good.
Mm-hmm.
But it does give a sort of an idea that possibly... she went to pick up Steve, and this is where they go to pick up Sam. And release the rest of them from the raft.
Yeah. Well, no. They go to pick up Sam from the raft.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So once they go to pick up Sam and then the rest of them...
Yeah, because, I mean, how did Steve get there, right? She would have to pick him up.
She would have had to pick him up. And
from Siberia.
Exactly. So she would have been the one to take him.
Yeah.
There is no other explanation.
Because honestly, if you think about it... Yeah. Because around the time that all of this is probably happening, Steve's up in the cold, fighting Tony.
No, and also going to Wakanda.
And also going to Wakanda to drop Bucky off.
It's possible. So I think that's where that connection would have been good to know. Like, just a phone-in would have been good at that point.
She would have to pick up Steve and Bucky,
drop
them off in Wakanda, pick up Sam.
Sure, that's
a lot.
Yeah,
that's a lot to do.
So I think that would have been good.
Yeah,
and
to have more of a distinct connection as to how this is linked to Infinity War,
even if it had been like a end credit scene or a mid credit scene or something
like
that. Like,
make the funeral or whatever you want to call it with Yelena memorial part in the middle, and then the end credit. could have been
a bit more of a connection bit.
Connection.
Okay, sorry. Yeah. Should have added this in the good, but we need to talk about that mid-credit scene with
yes,
Elena.
Yes, we need to talk about that and who shows up.
Yeah, who shows up? I can never say her full name. Oh my Allegra. God.
Contessa Allegra. Contessa. Oh my God.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus. Val. Don't call her Val. Yes. Just keep it in your head.
Yes.
So
she shows up.
Yes.
And we've got Yelena, she's got a dog.
Yeah.
And she's in Ohio and she's come to see this one's grave, Natasha's grave. So obviously we know this is after the events of Endgame, possibly even after or during the events of Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Possibly, yeah.
Because that's when Val shows up.
Yeah. So, and of course, what she's there for, she comes coughing and sneezing and everything. She's like, I'm allergic to the Midwest. I was like, oh my God. It's so great. But yeah, what she's there for is basically, she's like, oh, do you want revenge for the person who is responsible for Natasha's death?
Mm.
And she takes out her little
iPad.
I don't know if it was an iPad. Was it an iPad?
I don't know.
I don't know what it was. It was a screen
of
some sort.
It was like an iPad.
I don't know. For a second, I was like, is it an iPhone? But anyway. So she takes out the screen and she's like, oh, this is the person. And you see who it is. And it's Clint.
It was such an anticlimactic moment. Everyone in the cinema was just like, what?
It was so funny.
It was Clint Barton.
Because we're like,
we hadn't even thought about him. Like, okay, yeah, we think about him in the Budapest mentions.
Yeah, Budapest mentions.
But this is at the end.
This is at the end. We don't expect to be talking about him at this point. And literally this guy behind me goes, oh, damn you, Rena. It was so funny. But yeah, everybody was just like, huh?
Clint Barton? But that makes sense because this is now obviously connecting to Hawkeye, the show.
Yeah.
When is it supposed to come out?
I have no idea.
They haven't announced it yet, have they?
I mean, they've said that they've been filming, but then I don't know.
Well, they've released, like, photos and things as well. So I'm actually quite interested to see what it's like.
Yeah, we don't really know what it's about.
But I think that was a nice connection.
Yeah.
Which means we've got Yelena, who's going to potentially be maybe working with John Walker at some point.
God,
right?
Can you imagine?
And this is where the West Coast Avengers come in.
West Coast Avengers, but also, can you imagine how much she's gonna hate him?
Oh God, yes.
Oh my God, she's gonna not.
That is great.
I fully expect her to punch him in the face at some point.
Yeah. So this is where the West Coast Avengers are being set up, I think.
Yeah,
I'm really excited.
Yeah.
So what else was bad?
I know how you said, like, it was good that they filtered in humor throughout everything. But as is the problem with Marvel, as we've seen a few times, that bathos kind of just becomes, oh, let's just chuck it in so that, you know, we can move on to the next thing. And it didn't suffer a lot in this movie, but there were points where I was like, I really want some kind of acknowledgement and, like, seriousness between Alexi and the girls.
Yes,
I agree. Because every time he would try to say something, it would turn into something funny and be like, oh, you know, he can never be serious. I'm like, I just wanted one thing.
A heartfelt moment
between him and, you know.
I want to counter that.
Yeah.
I think the moment between him and Yelena was very nice.
Yeah.
Where he starts singing a bit American Pie, which was a favorite
song as a
child.
Because he knows that words are not going to work.
Yeah.
And that...
And not
the
just...
The fact that he remembered that was her favorite
not
song.
Not just going to work.
Yeah.
He's not good at words.
No.
He's a bumbling oaf.
Yeah.
He's offensive.
Yeah.
He's a pig.
Yeah.
Right? But the fact that he remembers her childhood favorite song.
Yeah.
That's a big moment. I think that
I really liked.
But that was only with Yelena. So basically I was thinking maybe that's because when they were younger, Natasha was very much aware that this is not my father.
True.
And this is not my mother. And this is just a thing, you know? But Yelena wasn't.
Hmm.
That's possibly one reason, but I think there should have been a moment.
There should have been a moment between them.
Between them.
And not saying, like, it has to be, like, a big heartfelt thing or whatever, but, like, some kind of, remembrance of...
Like, there was one with Yelena, Melina, where she keeps the album.
Yeah.
Of all their fake photographs.
Fake photographs, yeah. Yeah.
You know, and she's like, why did you keep this?
Yeah.
You know, and they're just going through those pictures. I think that was a very nice moment.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that would have been, a good one.
Yeah.
What else is bad? Okay, so one of my bads is Taskmaster. I liked that it was Dracov's daughter.
Mm.
But one of the things, and they could have done this because of, to throw people off.
Yeah.
Dracov's daughter's costume.
Yeah.
Taskmaster's costume. When you don't know that it's her, Antonia, you think it's a man.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, it could have been a choice to throw us off, the audience. And I get that, but I just felt like that wasn't a good choice for some reason.
It could have easily, it didn't necessarily have to have been Taskmaster. It could have been any kind of...
Because, see, one of the criticisms that this movie is facing is the character of Taskmaster. Not because it's Dracov's daughter, but because Taskmaster is a very important character in the MCU.
They've kind of just given it to this movie and not acknowledged what that was.
And the future that it could possibly have.
Yeah.
So I think the character of Taskmaster, they have done a disservice to.
Yeah.
I think it would have been interesting to see this character in the MCU, but not through Black Widow. I think they could have done something else with it.
Yeah.
So for me, that's a bad.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think what else. Someone said to me, the fight sequence at the end where they're, like, flying through the air and stuff. And I'm like, why is that bad? And they're like, yeah, but she doesn't fly. And I'm like, but she's not flying. She's falling. She's
falling, waiting to open the parachute.
Exactly. And I'm just
the parachute, like, is in her hands.
Yeah. So they were like, oh, that's a bad. And I'm like, how is that bad? Because she's falling. The whole thing is, like, breaking apart.
She's skydiving. She's literally skydiving.
Exactly. The whole thing's, like, breaking apart. So it's not
something.
Because they're like, oh, that's kind of out of character. I'm like, well, she's falling out of the sky. What is she supposed to do?
I think that's so dumb. Oh, my God.
I thought that was really dumb.
People's stupid.
Any other bads?
I don't know. I don't think there's bads or even uglies or anything. But just stuff that... maybe could have
been slightly better.
Slightly, not even better, but just taken a second to
ponder over.
Yeah.
I don't have any uglies for this. I really don't. So I'm pretty happy with that.
Yeah.
But yeah, overall, I thought this was a really good movie to... I looked at it as a goodbye to Black Widow.
Mm.
To our Black Widow, Natasha.
Yeah, Natasha.
And a very, very welcome introduction of Yelena.
Yeah.
So I think this movie did a really good job of saying goodbye to a beloved character and introducing a new character.
Yeah.
That already people are liking and loving.
Yeah.
You know, and we've only ever seen her in this.
Yeah, she was so funny and
different from Natasha, you know?
Heartfelt. Yeah. Like, you know? Yeah. Yeah, she was great. I loved her. I love the bit where she's like, why do you always do the pose and go out like this? She's like, you're such a poser.
Oh, it's a fight pose. It's
so funny. Good.
And then she tries it.
She's like disgusting.
It's so funny. Like, I really like her. And I think she's a great new Black Widow to carry the legacy on. Because we already love the character of Natasha, but she's gone.
Yeah.
And I think that was a very interesting thing because we've seen Natasha right to the end of her road, but we're kind of going backwards.
Yeah.
You know, so we're seeing her pre-Endgame and pre-Infinity War.
Yeah.
Where when we saw her in Endgame, she's almost broken.
Yeah.
But she's not broken here. She's very sort of, like, determined and she's very different to when she
dies.
She's
really still carrying on from Civil War. And you have to, like, remember this movie picks up kind of almost... just after Civil War, where she's on the run.
Yeah.
And, like we said, William Hurt's in this movie, Thunderbolt Ross is after her. So, yeah, like...
And basically, the next time Thunderbolt Ross catches her is when Steve and she and Sam come in Infinity War.
Yeah.
You know, so, I thought this was a nice bridging movie, and that's kind of what it was. And I think that's some of the stuff that people are saying, oh, it was just a bridging movie. But I think, what else can it be? She's dead.
We've known that it was going to be this for a while now.
Yeah. And okay, you can say, oh, that's not fair enough for her. But I think ideally,
it gives her her own movie and it gives her her origin without having it be an origin movie.
Exactly.
When there are stuff that we already find out in Avengers and
we've had expositions throughout all these movies,
Age of Ultron, and all the stuff that we technically already know. Like, we know Red Room stuff, we know what's going on.
And I liked that they didn't repeat things.
Yeah.
You know?
We know about Draco's daughter, but we only got the name of Draco, so we didn't really know what was behind it. And I like that they took that fact and they brought it into this movie and they focused on it. Because that is something that really changed her.
Yeah.
And was the initiation into
SHIELD. And it was the catalyst of her going, I need to get rid of the red in my ledger. That whole thing of, you know, and I remember watching her in Avengers and things, and I'm going, why is she so hung up about this thing? But as you watch the movies, you get it more and more, and then you watch this and you're like, ah, you know?
Yeah, it actually makes sense now.
And it's interesting to see that after she's dead.
Yeah.
You know? So I almost want to think of it as that memorial that everyone wanted.
Yeah.
This was it.
This is it, yeah.
You know? And I think that's a really nice way of looking at it.
Yeah.
I really liked it. I enjoyed it, so I cannot wait to watch it again. Cannot wait to watch it again.
I mean, I wouldn't mind another movie of The Missing Years with the three of them.
I would love a little, I think they should do a series. Honestly, you imagine? That would be good.
I don't think Chris Evans or Scarlett Johansson are going to come back for that, but.
Why not? Make an animation.
Yeah. I don't know. Make an animation. I don't know. I'm just in some way, like, because.
Okay, maybe not a series, but can we do, like, one?
Okay, I'm going to go off on a little tangent here. Bear with me. Gather around, children.
Okay,
so, in Falcon and the Winter Soldier,
yes,
where we open 6 years before with AO doing the whole activation words, trying to see if Bucky's going to react, right? I had this feeling in the middle of that scene. You know, it was a thought afterwards, where I was like...
Where's Steve then?
I was like, she's doing this very confidently, right? She's not at all scared that it could happen and he could attack her or something, right? Mm. One, she's a Dora Milaje, so that's kind of...
She doesn't care.
She doesn't care. Yeah. Right? But there's also that reassurance that maybe off in the woods somewhere is Steve Rogers being there for his friend.
Exactly.
Because she or Shuri or someone would have told him that this was going
to
happen.
Yeah.
And... He wants to be there just in case something happens and he can help his friend out, right? Yeah. So there's these little things, and I always felt in Infinity War that when Steve was like, oh, we're going back to Wakanda.
That's not the first time they went back.
They know the secret way, right? I was like, this is not the first time they're coming back after he drops Bucky off to be, you know, put into cryo. They have been back several times.
And the way that they walk off, him, Sam, and Natasha, they're so confident.
Just, yeah.
In fact, I think it's Rhodey who's with them.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, what do you do with the king or something like that?
It was Rhodey. That's a moment between Rhodey and Bruce where he's kind of just like, you know, oh, he's a king. Like, oh, he's supposed to bow. And he's we're supposed to bow.
Yeah,
and
but the point is, the others are not having that conversation.
Yeah, they don't know what,
they've been there a number of times.
Yeah, they've been there several times.
They're comfortable.
And I've always felt that they've been back multiple times. Steve probably to see Bucky.
Mm.
And
also think about it. Who's funding their thing?
Yeah.
It has to be
Wakanda.
Exactly. Where else are they going to do?
How else are they getting money?
That's probably their base.
I mean, who's saving them when they're probably half dead on those missing years?
No, and that's...
Shuri, right?
It's
Shuri who's going to be like, okay, well, let me put a kimono bead in your back.
Yeah, exactly, right?
You know, like, more broken white guy to fix. seriously, it has to be Wakanda funding them. So they've been back multiple times.
Mm. I've always felt that as well.
Can you imagine a series about all of that?
So brilliant.
Their adventures in Wakanda.
And even Natasha and...
Sam.
Okoye,
yeah.
Seem to know each other.
Yeah, they're very, like... Even the bit where they're like, why was she up there the whole time? Like, it felt very natural
that,
for
them
to talk like that to each other. Like, it wasn't like she's asking, okay, why was she up there in the tower?
Yeah.
She's just, like, very tiredly goes, why was she up there the whole time? Like,
you know, like... You can almost see, like, a banter between the two of them. Because they're very similar.
Yeah, they are.
You know?
Yeah.
They're very similar. Both warrior women.
Yeah.
Know? Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I know, it would be so cool.
A series of this would
Marvel,
be so good.
If you're hearing this, which you never will, but if you ever do...
If you ever do...
here's a pitch idea. We have a screenwriter sitting right
here. I'll sit here and write the whole thing, and I'll come to you, and I'll bring it to you, and I will convince you.
You don't even have to hire the fancy of Evans and Johansson. No. You can hire new actors.
You can hire new actors if you really have to. But
just make it an animation.
But just keep Sebastian Stan. That's all I'm asking.
Oh, that would be brilliant.
Yeah.
That would be brilliant.
It would be so good. Like,
that would be really cool.
And that is one thing. I'm always like, what happened
on those missing years?
Missing years.
Would be amazing. Because, like, I always look at their clothes and I think...
Yeah.
Like, you look at Natasha's jacket and this. It's all nice and brand new.
Yeah.
But when you see her in Infinity War, she's looking a bit raggedy.
Yeah.
You look at Sam, his things all a bit...
The wings all dinged up and dinged scratched up and thing.
Steve's uniform literally got holes in it.
Yeah, the star is, of course, missing. But, like, if you look at the pants, there's, like, rips in the pockets. Even his
gloves are, like, frayed.
Yeah.
They look homeless.
They do. I mean, they look good for being homeless. But...
they look a little bit worse for wear. Let's say that.
So, literally, what happened?
Yeah.
I just want to know.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so we're gonna wrap up here. So our next episode is episode 60.
Yeah.
Which is going to be, as we, you know...
We always do something special.
Something special for our every 10th episode. So we haven't decided yet what we're doing, but we have a bit of an idea.
Yeah.
So we shall let you all know. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, please continue listening to us. Please continue supporting us and reviewing. If you can, please leave us a review. Hope you guys are all keeping safe. Mm-hmm. And take care. And we shall
talk to you next time. I got it right.
All right.